You're listening to the God Center Mom Podcast with me, Heather McFadden. As the mom of four young boys, I know motherhood's hard. But sometimes I think I make it harder than it needs to be by putting myself in the center of things or even my kids. I forget to place God there and be led by His Spirit. I also tend to forget that I'm surrounded by God. He goes before me, He walks with me on the hard days, and He comes behind me when I make a mistake. So each week I'll interview someone new and we'll discuss what it means to be a God-centered mom. Thanks for listening. Hey everyone, welcome to God-Centered Mom Podcast. Today I am thrilled to get to talk with Haley Morgan from thetinytwig.com. Haley and I met 2 years ago at what was called the Relevant Conference, and it was held in Pennsylvania then, and I just got back from Greenville, South Carolina, where it's being held now. And amazingly, Haley and I are both moms to four boys, but when we met, we each only had three boys. So we've kind of journeyed off online only. We haven't seen each other face-to-face since that time. But without further ado, Haley, welcome to the God Center Mom Podcast.
Hi, Heather. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. It's that holiday. It's Halloween today. And I just dropped off all my boys and it felt just like, okay, did I remember this for them and that for them? And they weren't even in costume, but I'm like settling in and so thankful to get to talk to you. Do y'all do any Halloween stuff in your house?
Well, we do. We do like all, I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, so I don't have any of the things that it's like, you know, not treating or anything like that. But, so we do all, I mean, most of the stuff, not like scary stuff, but, our trick or treating, we're forecasted to have such bad storms tonight that our trick or treating got canceled in our city. So they're moving it to tomorrow. So, yeah, I don't know what we're going to do. We'll see.
So that storm that you're getting, we just had yesterday, and our church's Fall Fun Fest that we've gone to since my oldest, who's eight, was a baby, it got canceled, and my boys were crying, devastated. And so we took them to Dave & Buster's to make up for it, and they had good attitudes once it was all said and done. But I was like, seriously? And they were, and then we had all the questions, like, why would God let it rain when we're doing this outreach? I mean, they were really like seeking, you know, theology-based reasons on why God would, you know. And anyway. Yes. So, yes, the rain. I had one friend who thought it was going to rain today, and she, like, is pregnant due any second. And so she created from 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. a scavenger hunt for her kids.
Oh, my word.
To do so that they could go around the house and then end up with this pumpkin full of candy. And I was like, that's only like a nesting mom would think.
Yes, seriously.
Yeah, but I was impressed.
I know you're the boss of this podcast, but I have a question for you. Do you miss, like, the late night crazy of like the end of pregnancy?
Do I miss it?
Yeah. I was like so creative and had so much energy then. And I missed that.
Okay. So I didn't have that. That sounds really nice.
It was lovely. And I am surprised that I'm finding I'm more of an introvert than I thought. And so it was like these hours upon hours of alone time. And I miss that.
Yeah. See, I was just exhausted.
Yeah. Understandably.
And I'm really, really, really an extrovert. And I think that my having four children has forced me to be an introvert. And so I've been living in this horrible tension of that. Being forced to be an introvert is like hard.
I think I'm an extrovert, but I mean, I am. I think I'm closer to the line than I thought I was. But having four kids, like four boys, and now that two, well, really three of them are talking, it steals like my energy by the end of the day. So I think that maybe that's what drains me more than I was anticipating.
Yeah. I'm finding like I used to be able to write at night or do anything, crochet or, yeah, I mean, I did do a lot of creative stuff. Now that you're saying it, I did do a lot of creative stuff when I was pregnant, and I just assumed it was my life was making room for the baby. Like you say no to more because you're like, well, I'm about to have a baby. So you have like this space. And so I filled it with crafts. And then once the baby came, it was like, well, there goes that space.
Yep, there's the baby.
That's why we did that. Yeah. So I do miss, like, I haven't pulled out my crochet needles in probably since he was born. I did make like a linen flower for friends at that conference, and that kind of fed my creative juices. Yeah, but
that's
interesting. Yeah. No, I don't mind if you take over. Yeah. Take over the podcast, Chica. This is new.
You do it.
All right, but we are going to get to the God-centered mom stuff, okay? Yes. So I think before asking you the first question, I'm going to ask you the second question.
Okay.
What do you find to be the hardest part of being a mom?
Well, I always get asked questions. I think once you have like more than like a social norm amount of children, people start to ask you like, well, is it harder? Is having four kids like so hard? And so in the chronology of my momhood, I think going from no kids to then having one child was the hardest, like, heart shift for me to go from being completely about myself. I mean, I was a believer. I like love my husband. Like, I feel like we had like a really healthy relationship, but nothing teaches you to be selfless like having children. So for me, that was like the hardest thing in the timeline of being a mom. But for me, the hardest part of the everyday is the noise. And that might sound so silly, but I deal with chaos really well. Like, people going different directions, lots of different activities going on. But for me, I find the noise really gets to me. Like, I used to have TV on, listen to podcasts, all that. And now I'm like, no, nothing, not even worship music. Like, I just can't even, it has to be silent apart from the other people in my house that are talking.
Yes.
So that is the hardest, I think, thing for me in the day to day. And that's what will really, like, if I don't take that to the Lord and like surrender that desire to have like quiet and peace, that's what like throws my day in a tailspin, is once I'm like, there's no quiet, there's no peace. Mm-hmm. That's what throws my day upside down if I'm not careful.
And I think for me, like, sometimes it's that selfishness of like wanting my time, or for you, like you said, wanting your quiet. It's the expectation or the desire that I should have it. I should have a quiet moment. I should get a second to go to the bathroom without people. It's that then feeling angry at the people that are inhibiting that desire that starts the boiling up. Like, if I assume I will never get a moment to myself the entire day, then I'm not upset when I never get a moment to myself the entire day. But if, like, I assume that I should, then I get angry and frustrated.
Yeah, I am so there with you. I mean, I think that that is what it boils down to. I'm just – and it's hard when those people that spoil your expectation, when they look like you and they talk like you and they take on your mannerisms. And, I mean, those are just – they're like little – people that are there, and it's so refining. It stares me right in the face. Like, when my 7-year-old, who I would say has the most similar temperament to me, when he sits there and he kind of reflects my attitude back to me, I'm like, okay, Lord, well, we're gonna need to do some business there. And in my heart, also in his, he has business to do in his own heart, but just realizing that the expectations that I set up for my day, the way that I mirrored the disappointment and the selfishness and those not being met really affects my children.
Yeah, that's good. Well, and I had mentioned to you, one struggle I have is not just with, you know, when we're home alone, but like going out in public with all of these children, I tend to find myself in situations where I'm just humiliated. And whether it's my son peeing out on a tree in front of our private school.
Yes.
But I think it reveals, like you're saying, it's a mirror again. It's the holiness of motherhood that it shows, like, I care too much what people think. And it was interesting. I sent you that question, you know, what's a time or situation you were humiliated in motherhood? And I'd love to hear your answer because I think it's good.
Well, I was looking at this question and I was like racking my brain. I even talked to my husband. I was like, babe, when was I humiliated in motherhood? And I had a really hard time thinking of something. And I do think, A, that's indicative of having four boys. And it is constant things like that. My life is just crazy. But also, I think I have a really short memory for when those things kind of crop up. And it reminds me of a quote that I had heard from Peyton Manning. Now he's with the Broncos, but he's like our hometown quarterback with the Colts. Anyway, and I love football. So he says, like, to be a good quarterback, you have to have a short memory. You have to, if you have a bad play or a good play that was the previous play, you have to forget it and you have to get back up to the line of scrimmage and you have to start with the next play. And if you dwell on that last play, even a little bit, then you're going to be distracted from the play that's in front of you. And for me, I think that that's just how my brain goes to operate. Just like, okay, that was interesting. In 3 days, it's going to be funny. And we're just going to have to move forward and go tackle the next thing. Otherwise, I find that I do get distracted in my motherhood and it starts to really mess with like the next thing. And I start to like lose my control over like my boys. Not that I like control them, but I lose the management that I have over the four of them. And I start to just, that's when the world starts to feel like it's spinning to me.
Yeah.
And like, I can't grasp it and keep all of the pieces kind of together.
No, I think that's really wise. Like, I think beating myself up over those moments and keep like replaying them and imagining all the scenarios of what it means about me and what it means about them and what I need to change, like, just drags me down instead of moving forward and just realizing, one, the childishness of young boys and the impulsivity of boys, and two, like, that's life. I mean, things happen, and like you said, in a few days it'll be hilarious. So I think that's good perspective. Thank you, Peyton. Love you, Peyton.
I know, right? He's great.
And real quick before we move on, I did not have you tell, like, very briefly, how old are your boys?
I have an almost 7-year-old, a just turned 5-year-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 9-month-old. Basically every 2 years.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah, it is.
It's good.
My oldest is in first grade, so it's been a new season with school and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he goes every day, which
he does.
I think you've Instagrammed or something. He takes a bus, right?
He takes a bus,
which is huge.
With the graders. It is. I mean, that's crazy. When I put him on that bus as a kindergartner, and I knew there were fifth graders on that bus, that was the like moment where I felt like, okay, Lord, like, I've said that I like mother open-handedly, but this is real life. Somebody else is driving my kid who's not in a car seat on a bus full of like 10 and 11-year-olds. That is actually like the definition of crazy. So,
And it's so like, I was talking to my BSF leader, her son's in the military, and she was just saying like that moment where she had to send him off to Iraq was like this, okay, Lord, he's yours. And we were saying, but really, they're always God's. Why do we, you know, have these moments where it feels bigger? Like it, I mean, yeah, that seems huge to put them on a bus where someone else is driving. I think it hit me when I was going on my first trip away and my boys were staying with my mom and dad. And I was overwhelmed with fear. Like, something's going to happen while we're gone. They're going to fall in a pool. They're da 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 da. And I thought, why do I assume that me being with them means they're safe?
Yeah.
When I'm away, they're not safe. Then if something does happen when they're in my, you know, under me, I'm going to feel like I own it. So I just need to realize, like, no matter whether I'm with them or someone else is with them, that God's always with them. I mean, it sounds so Christianese, but I do think, like, if we could get there earlier, then those kinds of situations wouldn't seem so drastic.
Yeah, and I think, like, I hear you about, like, why do we have, like, those big moments where we think those, like, scary thoughts or those open-handed thoughts. But For me, I think it's almost like a gift, those big moments for like clarity, and because it does help us get there faster to live that way in the everyday. And I think like just how we're wired as humans, Israelites in scripture like always had to have those touchstone moments of where things were really clear and really obvious to them and they still forgot. But I know that I'm super thankful for those kind of milestone things in my kids' lives because it does force me to go back to the idea of they are not mine. They've always been the Lord's and he already has numbered their days. And for me to worry about that is not super productive. Not that I don't worry about those things anyway, but.
Right. No, that's good. That's really good. So, okay, going back to my questions, do you find, like you mentioned, how having your first one was the hardest jump from, like, it really revealed the selfishness in you? I know for me that was true as well. And then I made the mistake of kind of then elevating my kids to kind of being all about my kids, kind of, you know, not surrendering that God, their gods, kind of really feeling like I needed to make sure they went to music class and I did this and I did that. And I kind of made them be the center of our world to like the detriment of marriage and friendships and even my own faith. And I think then I made the switch once I got to three where I was like, forget it. Where am I in this? Where is my marriage in this? And I like swung the other way where then it was all about me again. Do you struggle with one or the other, like too much about the kids or too much about you, or are you all balanced there?
Well, I would love to say that I am very balanced, but no, I think I swing all the time. I think maybe I'm balanced in my unbalancedness. I don't have one way or the other that I find myself like really gravitating towards, but I do know that like within any given day, I find myself swinging one way or the other, and both have their own like weird guilt associated with it. Yeah. And so I really do find like if I can apply like the gospel to my own life and like sit there and preach to myself about like, okay, I am not the Lord of my children, whether I have them, because it's such temptation for me to be like, I'm the worst school parent ever. I mean, there's so much paperwork and so much homework and things like that that come home and so many things that they want you to be involved in. And my first grader, he will say like, there's so many things he wants to do that are just not possible. Well, it would be possible, but we have four kids. And if we're going to do that for him, we need to do it for the rest of the boys. And that's just not possible. So there's things that make me feel like a less than mom. And I think I really tried to, when he started school again this year, because kindergarten, I was pregnant for most of kindergarten and we were starting the Influence Conference and the network and all that. And so it was just a crazy year. And him starting kindergarten, I mean, I really was like world's worst school mom. And so starting first grade, I told his teacher, I was like, I verbally vomited to her. And I was like, I'm going to do a really good job. I'm going to have everything. I'm going to have a binder that's going to have all this stuff in it. I'm going to know everything. And so I think I swung that way in that moment. I was just like, I thought by me being like the very best that I was somehow ensuring that he was going to be the very best. That has like good intentions, I think, but I think it revealed to me like a grossness in my heart. And like my husband, we walked out of the like meet the teacher thing into the hallway and we were alone and he was like, what was that? That was actual crazy. And he just was like, babe, like, you are not acting like what you believe, that like God is with our kids and that God has what's best for our kids and that like you are not the, it's not dependent on you what like their success in the Lord is. So I definitely can swing that way. And then I definitely can swing the other way too. And I think that for me is more in the little moments of like what you were saying, like, I deserve my time. I deserve quiet. I deserve to be able to do X, Y, or Z. And those are the moments where, again, like it reveals like an ugly in my heart, but I also then get the chance to like preach the good news to myself and say like, yes, like I think I deserve that time, but God has gifted me with these children and he's equipped me to shepherd them well. And that when I fail and when I do fall short, like there's grace for that and that he's already covered it. And that's also like a time where I can also say like, guys, kids, like, I'm so sorry. I am sorry that mommy was being selfish when I was short with you because I, you know, whatever, X, Y, or Z. But like, here's why that was selfish. And here is the good news that I get to, you know, rest in. And, you know, the icky that I feel in my heart, I know that you guys like feel that sometimes too. And the good news is that we get forgiveness for that if we repent. And it's just so good for me, like, to be able to say those things out loud in the small moments when I like get to those with my kids.
So, one of our next questions was how and when do you connect with God? Because I feel like in order for us to be aware enough to preach the gospel back to ourselves, like when we swing off course, I kind of, you know, with the whole God-centered thing, I kind of view it like we're tethered to God and we'll swing out of that circle and centeredness in him. And, but if we're not tethered, then we can't swing back. So like, where are your tethering points? Like, do you have a regular time or place or routine for that?
Yeah. I wish I could say right now that I have some super regular, way that I like do devotions or that sort of thing. For me, I heard from somebody, I wish I could remember who it was, but that their grandmother always kept a Bible open on the kitchen counter. And for me, that has been a huge touchstone for me because I'm always in my kitchen. I always joke that like, why do my kids want breakfast? We just had dinner. And, but we're always in the kitchen as moms. And so I'm always there and I will just like really try to throughout the like grab points of time. And it helps that my like work also is like tied to ministry. And so I make time for those sort of things. And it's kind of, I have a lot of things that keep me accountable to growing in the Lord. And so that's super helpful. But just in my day-to-day time, like life, I just try to create like lots of small touchstones throughout the day. And I just am excited like when I get those moments.
So do you have like, are you in any kind of community that keeps you accountable to that? You said you're in a ministry, but do you have like a Bible study or a women's group or Sunday school or anything like that that keeps you?
Yeah, I'm in a small group that my husband and I lead through our local church. And I would say like when I am leading things that super keeps me accountable. And may not be somebody like day to day, like asking like, have you done this? Did you do this today? But just the fact that knowing like I have that responsibility to the Lord to lead well and to shepherd well, that is like, I'm one of those people who's very sensitive when like there's sin going on in my life and I really don't like that feeling. And so I have a tendency to be quick to apologize or quick to, you know, ask for forgiveness and go the other direction. And so that for me is like, I write for She Reads Truth and that community in itself, like of writers, I just, and readers, like I just don't want to be a detriment to that ministry. So that keeps me accountable, just knowing that like, that God sees that.
When it's really, I mean, I think one of the things I've kind of learned in this whole journey of really looking at spiritual disciplines and what does that mean is having grown up in the church, I kind of think there's this part of us, we have to have a quiet time and it has to look like this and it has to be this in-depth thing. And realizing really, sometimes we could have those really in-depth quiet times. Sometimes my days when I have like the best morning in the Word and the Bible, I'm yelling within 20 minutes and and it's more just a connectedness to the Spirit throughout the day and seeing God all the time. That's like really showing Christ more than this. I mean, I do think we need to read the Bible and I do think we need to have times of prayer and, but if it's only there and it's not pouring out and you don't have that sensitivity to the Spirit, like you said, where sin doesn't feel right, I feel like that's because that's the unrighteousness. It doesn't fit with the, with who God has called us to be if we've surrendered our lives to him. So it doesn't feel right because because the spirit is so present, they just don't match. They don't go together. So I think that that speaks well that you feel that stirring and that you can immediately go back to your tethered point. And I think that in this season, really, I think it's good for moms to hear that, you know, that there's options. And I actually, in our the other podcast, I think it's going to play before this one, is a mom of mine who's my mentor who has four older boys. And she said the thing about leaving the Bible out on the counter, you know, or just leaving it out on the table to have it be a place that you just go back to throughout the day. So that's good.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
And I do feel like purpose time of study and like reflection, I think it's so important because I think that that's what like gives you those like touchstones to come back to.
Yes.
You don't have like that kind of underlying foundation. It's going to, you will feel like adrift, I think. But the times in my life that have been the most, I've seen like the most fruit from are the times where I just do feel really in step with the spirit and really, and sometimes that doesn't look like a, you know, 40-minute morning devotion at, you know, before my kids get up and all of what the romanticized version, I think, of what we have is. And I was going to say something else, and now I forget. I'm the worst. I'll think of it later, and it totally won't fit, but I'll still say it.
That's that, that short memory. That's good. That's good. Just embrace that. Embrace that. No, I think, you know, and maybe some listeners, when we say things like getting in touch with the spirit and walking in the spirit, that sounds like hoobie-jeebie. What do they mean by that? What kind of mumbo jumbo talk is that? And I think that if you change your definition of what connecting with God is, you can kind of see that. And I think we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, when we claim Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in us, which means God is in us, which means the same Holy Spirit in me is in you, Haley, all the way in Indianapolis. Like, we have the exact, there's not multiple Holy Spirits. And if my son has claimed faith in God, there's not a junior Holy Spirit. Like, it's the exact same God. It's not like they get a miniature version. So I think to realize, like, when getting in step with the Spirit, it really can affect not only our personal walk with God, but like our relationships. Like, when I noticed, you know, when I had a hard time after my last baby came, I was having a hard time with relationships and friendships. And when I look back, I'm like, yes, I was having a hard time with baby stuff or whatever you want to call it, postpartum or whatever. But I think there was also this like emptiness of spirit where I wasn't in tune and I wasn't sensitive to other people or even my own children. And I do think it took me not relying on like social media things for my approval or other places for my approval to like, I really did need to have like a stripped down time of getting back to that tethered point and not out of a workspace, but more of a true getting back connected with the heart of God. I don't know. It just sounds, I guess it still sounds heebie-jeebie, mojo. What do you say? Any thoughts on that?
I struggle because I am like a big person where I feel like my writing style is a way to take like complicated thoughts and distill it down in ways that is everyday language and ways that people understand. But I really have a challenge in the words from the tradition of our faith like are very descriptive and they're very apt to actually what happens. And my friend Jessie, I think my struggle with my relationships and my work online is that sometimes I feel like I'm not Jesus-y enough. And so she will say the God in you or the spirit in you is as spirity, as Jesus-y as it gets. Like, you can't have more or less. It just like is. Mm-hmm. And for me, that was like a really aha moment. And that I think was when I really started saying like, okay, it's not a thing of me like earning more or having more. Mm-hmm. It is just like a retethering or a getting back to and closer to. And that was encouraging to me. And I thought about what I was going to say earlier.
Yes,
I remembered
good,
it.
Good.
After my second little guy was born, I went through a season of intense fear. Like I don't know what it was, what triggered it, but I was really, really afraid. I think it was like everything in my life had been good up to that point, and I was waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I somehow developed this really intense, like, medical fear. I thought that, like, I was always getting these really, like, terrible maladies that, like, didn't have a cure or whatever. So, so silly looking in retrospect, but it felt extremely real to me at the time. And you were asking, like, how do you stay connected with God and how do you come back to that point if you feel like if you're not there as much. Mm-hmm. And for me, like in that time, like it sounds similar to your time when you felt disconnected in relationships. I knew that this like fear was not of God. And so I went for a month. I was in a women's Bible study at the time. And it really wasn't so much a Bible study as it was just a committed time of prayer. It was set up like a traditional women's Bible study. Like you go every week, you have a group, just what, you know, you would expect. But instead of studying scripture, we just got together and prayed. And then at the beginning, we made a commitment of like an amount of time that we were going to pray every day. And we also were challenged to find a routine that worked for us. And so I committed at Cooper, my second was like 6 or 9 months old at the time. And I committed that every day for a month, I was going to pray for 30 minutes at the very beginning of nap time, because I knew that I could get in 30 minutes before my kids started fussing, even if they were having like a terrible nap day. Mm-hmm. So for me, I went 30 days of praying 30 minutes a day of like very focused prayer time. And it was the most fruitful time in my spiritual life that I can look back to, aside from being a new believer. And for me, that was like, that's something that I still look back to. And I say like, God started a huge work in me in that season. That's still like, I'm still feeling like the reverberations from that.
Wow.
So for me, that was like, and I haven't done it since. It feels like very overwhelming to do now. Yeah. I'm like, when would I do that? How could I do that?
Yeah.
But I just had a notebook and I just wrote prayers for 30 minutes every day.
Wow.
So anyway.
Yeah, and I do think, like, we see in the Bible, like, Jesus going in the desert and getting away right before he started his ministry. Like, I do think that there is fruit for that stripping down, getting just you and God, and finding something like that. And I think if a listener is finding themselves in a really anxious, overwhelmed, depressed place, that maybe the tether's been, you know, you're always going to be connected with God, especially if you have claimed him and you are saved. You will not lose that. But the distance on that line can grow greater. And I think that to just pull in the rope little by little, dedicating that time to God, I think that I do think you'll see fruit. And once you're there, like you said, it's easy to go back. It's not so hard. You don't have to feel this pressure of dedicated. I mean, but wouldn't you, we would both like benefit right now if we could do 30 minutes of, instead of us just sitting here talking, like,
oh, yeah,
if we just journaled our prayer.
Yeah.
I do think, that's good.
Yeah.
That's really good. That is very good. Okay. So, I didn't tell you about this question and I just thought of it. What is your favorite resource for helping you focus on God that you've ever had?
Oh gosh, that is a really
good. In the
good
whole history of time, ever,
in
eternity.
Okay, for me, aside from scripture, I think that's a given, right?
Right, right.
For me, having older women invested in my life has been the biggest thing. I mean, and it's hard. I think that our generation of women, I think that there's like a tension between, like 20 somethings and 30 somethings, and then women who are older than us and who have gone before us. And I think right now, there's that tension of, or at least this is what I've heard. I'm not putting any thoughts in anybody's mouth, but I don't think you have thoughts in your mouth. I don't have any thoughts in people's head or words in people's mouth.
Yeah, but, there you go.
I think there's this tension of older women think like, oh, those younger girls, like they think they've got it all together. And so like they don't want our help. And then I think that there's the tension for the younger women who are thinking like, gosh, the older women are so busy. Like they just don't have any time. Mm. And so I think that there's this thing, and I'm hoping that I don't know how it will happen, but I'm hoping that there will be a shift in like the women Christian culture of more openness about that, because I really don't think that there's anything better than having an older woman that is not just like casually invested, but actually like is for you and wants to see your growth.
And I think another thing that we noticed last year at this Alum conference, I remember my friend Kristen, she sat down at a table. She just decided she'd sit down somewhere and whoever got put next to her was who she's supposed to sit with. And this older woman was there and she just looked really dejected and upset. And she was talking to her and she just felt irrelevant. Like because of the technology and because of all the information we have and all the books we have and how we somehow as young moms think we know everything about parenting and are writing blogs about it, and young people can have books published now and wisdom isn't really valued because we have information, that she just felt irrelevant and she felt like she couldn't even blog or write about it because she didn't really know how to use the technology at her hands. And so, I mean, I've even found like my mentor is a wealth of information and I just want more people to know what she has to share and to get in a relationship with her just via online sources. And so I've like been mentoring her on the techie side as she mentors me on how to raise boys. And it's been like a really nice exchange of, you know, value. Like she is valued to me, and for her to see that and then for me to like give her whatever tools I can in exchange. I don't know. I think that creating more of those relationships and helping make a generation above us feel valued, because for whatever reason they don't, and that's too bad.
Yeah. I do have one more thing.
Yeah.
Also, I love reading biographies of women of the faith who have like come before us.
Who's your favorite?
And I think it's the same thing. I love Elizabeth Elliot. I think I love like reading her books. I think it's amazing to be able to have, it's like if you don't have a real life mentor, and a lot of women our age don't, and that's unfortunate. But I think that you can find a lot of that wisdom still in reading either their works or works about them. And I just think it's encouraging because you see that like life was hard and like there were things that were really, really hard, but God was still like their unshakable core. Mm. And that's just always encouraging to me.
Yeah.
So.
And and I'm hoping with this podcast for anyone who's listening, for whatever reason, God has placed a lot of women in my life who've gone through really hard things. And God has like been the constant. Instead of them turning away from God, they have sought him more. And I think it's encouraging for us sometimes when we fear the worst, what usually related to our family, we don't trust God. And to see that these women came out of it stronger, I think hopefully will encourage us to be centered in God more. But I think our time is up, sadly, Haley. So you're going to have to come back again and we're just going to have to chat about even more fun things.
All right. I'm up for it.
Okay.
Anytime.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for being with us. Thank you, listeners, for listening to our conversation about how to be a God-centered mom. And Haley, go have an awesome Halloween with your kids.
I will. Thank you so much, Heather.
All right. Adios. Thanks for listening to the God-Centered Mom podcast. I hope you enjoyed our guests as much as I did. And if you're looking for resources on how to replace me with he, go to GodCenteredMom.com. I want you to know that God is just as present at your kitchen sink as your church pew, that he sees your service and he is pleased. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you, and he will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Have a great day.